Happy. Amen. That's it. Amen. I believe I have a word in season. If you've been noticing, I've been following Abraham's life. What's been happening in Abraham's family? the whole area of him, thing he shouldn't have done. His wife and him having a good old argument about it. She putting a foot down. He's saying, "Yeah, just do what you want." Then we spoke about the spirit of control and the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Leviathan into the house. And I want to continue on the whole theme of how a house should be. So I'm going to talk to the men specifically this morning. If you haven't got a man, he is your man. Amen. Because he's a father to the fatherless. And he's the greatest father they can ever have. Amen. But I believe there's a commission in this hour like never before for the men to take their place. The title of my message, believe it or not, is "Take a Walk with Me." Take a walk with me. And that was a prophetic word this morning that he wants us to walk with him. So you can relate the whole series of Isaac and Abraham with the Father and the Son. Amen. The Father, Father of faith, the Son, Isaac, the Son of promise. But it's a perfect picture of Christ and the Father walking hand in hand. Amen. I mean, a perfect picture. So, we're going to talk about tithes and offerings as part of our worship before the Lord this morning. Who enjoyed our worship this morning? Wasn't it amazing? I tell you, God is so good. Hear me, God is so good. We sung a song this morning. We actually quoted a scripture, Psalm 32, I believe. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. 37. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but Jesus said none's good. One. He doesn't mean that your goodness steps are ordered. He means because you desire the goodness of God, he'll order your steps. Amen. Because the child in rebellion will not walk his steps ordered.
That's right.
He'll want to walk in his own steps. Amen? But the steps of a good man, a man who desires the goodness of God, he'll order the steps. In other words, he'll design it so you will walk in everything he has in life. They're ordered. They're already set out in heaven. And if you're seeking his heart, he will cause you to fall into it.
Yeah.
Amen? Regardless of what's that one we were just studying? The snare of the fowler.
Yeah.
Regardless of any snare the fowler puts in your place, puts in your path, God will give you a way of escape. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a good little study if you want to do it. He delivers me from the snare of the fowler. In other words, I was snared. But now I'm not. Are you with me? Good. Okay, let's take our tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you for the wonder of giving this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
No missions this morning. We did it last week. Thank you for the wonder of giving this morning. We ask you in the name of Jesus that, Father, as this is given, God, you would bless. Lord, bless that which is given. Lord, the heart of your people is to see your kingdom come. The heart of your people is to see this world touched, delivered, and set free for Jesus. To bless the giver in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you as you give this morning. So, the title of my message is Come Take a Walk. So I'm going to specifically talk. It's imperative as a man that we walk right, that we lead right. And there's a picture, a perfect picture, in Genesis 22 of Abraham at this time, Abraham being challenged by God. In fact, verse 1 says he was tested by God. Tested by God to get that which he loved.
Yeah.
Not just give up. Not just give up. He had to kill it. Now, I don't know about you, But I'd be rebuking, I would have been rebuking the devil by then. I rebuke you, devil. Fancy trying to kill my son. Don't be silly. But theirs was a request of the father of faith. To walk by faith, I cannot have anything before him. That's what he's saying. I afford to have anything before him. He has to be my everything. And everything else becomes second. Love the Lord your God with everything. He's got to be my everything. Therefore, he is first. Everything else comes second, third, fourth, whatever. But there has to be an order. Amen. And the order has to be seen in the house. Let's read. I'm going to read Genesis 22, verse 1 to 18. Can you grab my glasses, darling? Genesis 22, verse 1 to 18. It's, but we'll go through it bit by bit. There's a teaching. And if you know someone that is a dad, get him this message. Whether he's saved or unsaved, get him, give him the message. Because there's an order that God wants to bring forth. Excuse me. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of the memory. So I'm reading 18, should be 22. Now Abraham, old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham. No, that's not the one. 21. 22. I'm reading 24. I've got a pair of glasses. Now it came to pass. Hallelujah, I've got the right line. Now it came to pass. After these things. Things. What things had Abraham suffered and went through prior to this test? He had to get rid of Ishmael. He had to bring a separation between Isaac and Ishmael. First law of order for a father. Be careful who your children run with.
And be careful who you cheat on your wife with.
That's right. Be careful who your children run with, number one. Amen. Because he had to get rid of unbelief and doubt in the house. All right? Now it came to pass after this, Abraham said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. I mean, I love God's little sense of humor. Because what's his name? God says, I am. Here I am. He was saying God's name. Here I am. I mean, did God know where he was? Of course he did. So he's just acknowledging God the Father. Here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Notice it wasn't the mountain of Moriah, it's the land. It was a mountain of Moriah that he had to go to, and it doesn't tell us what mountain it's called. It's just the land of Moriah. All right, and offer him there as a burnt offering. And one of the mountains, which I will tell you, one of the mountains. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, two young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split the wood of the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So God told him a vicinity to go to, but not the specificity of where he had to go to. And sometimes that's what faith does. Faith will make you step out knowing the general thing of what God wants to do, but he hasn't given you the details of exactly what he's going to do. Amen. Until you take a step of... Are you with me? Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. We'll go through all this because I have to read it first. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here, the donkey and the lad, and I will go yonder and we will come back to you. Statement of faith. We will come back to you. Statement of faith. He was going up the mountain to kill him, but he made a statement of faith. We will come back to you. Amen. Isn't it amazing? Because when you step out in faith, you know your God wants the best. Amen. Even though he requires everything of you, he'll want to give you the best. And so there's a confidence with faith that your God will give back to you what you surrender. Amen. But unless you surrender it, it can't be given back. So So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on this Isaac, the son, the wood ripped cross. The father laid the cross on the son. Who had to carry the weight of the cross? The son. The son carries the weight of the cross. Amen. And he took the fire in his hand. Who took the fire? The father took the fire. The son carries the cross. The father carries the fire. Amen. And a knife. And a knife. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to his father Abraham his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Where was the father? Next to the son, walking with him. He was walking with him, walking up to the son's mountain. He was walking up to a place where he was going to build an altar. He was walking out a walk with his son. Amen. He never stayed at the bottom of the mountain. He never said to Isaac, "Go up the top of the mountain and God will deal with you." He did that. He walked up the mountain with his son. And every son and daughter will have a mountaintop experience. But they will need their father next to them to speak words of encouragement so they can carry their cross, even though they don't understand what the cross is about. Because the question was, we've got the wood. We've got the knife. Sacrifice. So the father brings this word to him, says, "Don't worry about that, son. The Lord will provide for himself. Faith will speak that. Faith speaks like that. The Lord will provide for himself." Abraham knew exactly what he needed to do, but he would not stop walking with him till something was built. Amen. Anyway, I'm running ahead. My father, he said, "Here I am, son." And he said, "Look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said to my son, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering." So when the two of them went together, then they came to which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. Say order. See, the father brings order. The father brings an order. Amen. And bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." Now you've got to understand, Abraham is in a place of panic. He knows what he's got to do, yet he doesn't want to do it, because he's the very image of his love. He doesn't want to hurt his boy. He's the promise from God. So he is in a place of torment and toil, yet he still had the clarity to hear the voice in the midst of his storm. Amen. And there was a young man next to him that was learning something from his dad. How to hear in the midst of confusion. How to hear in the storm. Amen. We'll get into that. Abraham, he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know your fear. You fear God, and that you have not your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And we know the story. They cut the lamb, they destroyed the lamb, and sacrificed unto God. But I want to go through this little passage, verse by verse, because it tells us how a man should walk with his son and his daughter. We can breathe this morning. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. You've got to understand, Abraham had to bring a separation for his son, even though his son demanded, between that which was broken. You can't live the fullness of God if you're happy to live with brokenness in your life. Ishmael was broken. I spoke about this last week. Hagar was broken. Promise and pain cannot cohabitate with one another. One has to go. Amen? That's why Ishmael had to go. And if you didn't hear about that message, I believe it's on the internet now, about dealing with the Leviathan spirit and dealing with the Jezebel and dealing with things and issues in life and the family. Amen. Abraham now wanted to climb a mountain, a place where he had treasured with a person that he had placed treasure and loved and counted dear to him. You got it up there. Can you go to the first one, son? Counted dear to him. In other words, every parent knows the step to the mountain is teaching your children to be a living sacrifice. We're called to be a living sacrifice. The whole walk of the man with the son is teaching him to be a living sacrifice. Amen. Which is holy and acceptable before the Lord. Abraham had an issue where he was given a word from the Lord. He didn't take Sarah, his wife, on the mission to the mountain. And there was a reason for that, because mums are rescuers. Mums are rescuers. But there is a thing that a man and a son and daughter have to walk out and have deposited in their life for them to move into adulthood and continue on what God has for their life. And it doesn't need someone to rescue them. It needs for the man to deposit something in their children that what he's got. Are you with me? So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two young men with him. Verse 3. And Isaac, his son, and he didn't tell Sarah, as mothers are rescuers, here's a father has a place on the shoulders There are things a father has to place on the shoulders of the daughters that might seem heavy and burdensome. In other words, some mums think it's unjust. Oh, don't make him do that. He does. Oh, give him the money. And we rescue. But me constantly rescuing doesn't teach them responsibility and growing up. Amen. Sometimes I have to make them walk out and let them feel the weight of their own cross. I do. I've got to let them feel the weight of their own cross. And when they make a mistake, sometimes bear the consequence of the mistake. And it teaches them to become a man or a woman. All right? Are you with me? They must learn to carry their own cross. The cross was placed upon the son. Yet the father never left his side up to the altar. He kept encouraging him. He kept speaking faith to him. He kept holding him. He kept walking beside him until the doubts were relieved and he could see. Because sometimes Abraham had revelation what God was going to do. Isaac had no such revelation. He was actually following the instruction of his own father. He was not walking by faith. He was walking by command. Son, do this and all will be with you. Son, do this and all be right. God will provide. Abraham was in the same place as Isaac. He didn't know how God was going to provide. God never told him there's going to be a ram in the back of the thicket. God never told him that. God told him to keep on walking. And he did. Are you with me? Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham's eyes saw a place afar off. A father who knows the child's should know his destination. A praying father should know the child's destination. The promises of God on their life. The promises that are on your life that should be given to the children's children. You should know where your children are headed in the spirit. Are you with me? That's where I minister to them. I encourage their gift. I encourage their walk. I encourage what God is doing in their life. And when I see something that is not that is contrary to them, I speak that into their life as well. My son's not here, so I can say it. This is a testimony. He won't mind me telling you this. Anyone ever heard of OzOps? Yeah. One young man smiling behind me. No. It was a pyramid scheme, actually, that went through the church like wildfire, and it was all based on greed. Anyway, yeah, greed. I'll tell you why. This website would come up, was joining, and they were paying money to join, and you put so much money into this company, and they would give you 47%. 47% was it? 47% a month. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? 47% a month? More than the bank. 47% a month. And young people were going into it by the droves. Anyway, my son's turning 18. So he goes, "Dad?" I said, "Yeah, son." He says, "Will you give me some money for my 18th birthday?" I said, "Yeah, of course I will." So I instead of a present, and he invested in Ozops. "Dad, put your money. You're going to get 47% a month." I says, "If it's too good to be true, it usually not true." He's checking the computer every day. "My money is increasing, my money is increasing, my money is increasing." Smiling away. I said, "Pull it out. Take 47 off." "No, no." It's greed now. "No, no, 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 no. I'm going to get 47% on that 47% next month." So he's needed to double your money. All of a sudden, he logged in one day and he comes, "Dad, is the internet down?" I said, "No." "So I can't log in." All of a sudden, I reckon Telstra made $1 million that one day. Yeah. There was phone calls buzzing everyone. "Can you log in? Can you log in? Can I borrow your phone? Have you got?" No one could log in because there was no such thing as Ozops. It was just a big screen that showed people that they had figures, and all of a sudden it was all gone. Their money was gone. And Dad said, then he comes to me and says this, "Dad," "Yeah." He's 18. "Dad, what am I getting for my birthday?" I went, "Squat." He went, "What do you mean it's my 18th birthday?" He says, "Yeah. Yeah, it's your 18th birthday. Best birthday present I can ever give you. A lesson in life." Well, he was a bit despondent for a day or two. And now, of course, my wife saying, "Dave, you can't do that. The rescuer. See the rescuer? You can't do that. It's his 18th birthday." Anyone? We're the only family that does this? No, of course, all families do this, don't they? You can't do that. Give him something. I said, "He's getting nothing. He's got something. He's got one of the most valuable lessons in life." And my family hear me say this all the time. Education is not free. It will cost you something. All right? So anyway, he doesn't talk about Ozops anymore. And I guarantee you, he wouldn't allow his little Jackson to do it. He's learned a lesson. Living sacrifice unto the Lord. Verse 5, it says, "And you young men, stay here with the donkey. Some can go so far with you on your journey to your mountaintop." Hear me. Some people can go so far with you to your mountaintop experience, but they will be left behind because only a father can give what he needs to his son to go further than where he is. Please do not leave it to try and take your son up to the mountain where we should be your responsibility to do it. Do not shirk your responsibility. It is your responsibility. It is your responsibility to walk it out with him. It is the man's responsibility to walk it out with his son. Whatever the son is doing, it doesn't matter. As long as he keeps walking by faith, trusting in God, putting one step ahead of another and speaking life into the son, because the son will get to a place where he does not understand that there will be a ram. All he's hearing is God will provide for himself. One of the first lessons a father teaches, rely on the Lord. If you have a need, rely on the Lord. He's speaking wisdom to the son, all on the journey of moving up to the mountain. He's speaking wisdom, teaching him how to walk by faith, even though Abraham doesn't know himself. He does know this: God shall supply all my... Are you with me? The building of the altar. Some can take it, but the building of the altar is a personal thing. The building of the altar is a personal thing. And the child will only copy the altar that he sees his father build. Are you with me? The child will only copy the altar what he sees his father build. Dads, sons, future dads, future mums, you have to have an altar in your house. My kids, when I was at work, I'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd go leave work at 6:30. I used to wake my daughter up singing, worship, come out of the bedroom as a 15-year-old. Dad, 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 what? Shut up! I said, did I wake you up, love? Dad, I'm trying to get to sleep. I said, join me. Just join me. No. But you see, all them years I did that deposited something in her life. Now she leads worship. Now she's a worshiper. Because that's what she needs to hear. And something was deposited. So she's seen me in trouble, and she's seen me in happiness and the good times, but in also struggling times. But she never stopped me seeing me worshiping the Lord. She had a constant in her life. That's what the altar does. It brings a constant in people's lives. The altar has to be built specifically. It was built with stones that were not cut. In other words, it was built with what God, the goodness of God, of what he provided. You have to first show forth the goodness of God. And then what he did was he put the wood in what? Order. Your altar has to be an altar of order. There must be in your house. Your house, God is not an author of what? Confusion. Confusion should not be in your house. If there's confusion in your house, you need to address it and say, where is my altar disrepaired? Is there a disrepair in my altar? Have I tried to hewn some stones for myself and build it how I perceive, on my pattern of how I expect or how I should worship God? It must be an altar that glorifies him and him alone by everything that he has provided for me. Amen? All the stones were found on the mountain. He didn't have to carry stones up the mountain. God provided the stones, but he also had to make sure that he put it. Amen? And sometimes, just sometimes, we have to bring order to our house. One of the greatest orders in my house is, am I in order? Because what happens, what's on the head? Is the husband the head? Yes, he is. What's on the head flows down to the wife, the children. It flows, the flow effect. And it can affect my house, not just in the now, but in the future. But a lot of times, and I might get a little bit tired here, but I need to say it, a lot of times allow others to raise their children in the spirit because we want to give them choice. The only Isaac had was to follow his dad. Amen? Yeah, he had to be obedient. He had to climb on the altar. We're going to go through it. Anyway. The father's faith, knowing that he who loses his life shall. He who loses his life shall. So I never glorify the death. I glorify the resurrection. I never glorify the cost. the cost of what he has to do, I glorify the blessing that he's going to receive. Are you with me? So in verse 6, so Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and his knife, and the two of them went together. Father, son, daughter went together. They're on a journey in life together. Amen. A father needs to allow their children to experience the weight of their cross and feel the weight, to bear responsibility and at times consequences without removing the cross. You keep removing the child's cross, you are delaying the purpose of God in their life. You keep rescuing them, you are delaying God's will for their life. They have to feel the weight of their own cross. Amen. It's everything within to remove that weight. It's natural for us to want to remove and rescue that weight. But sometimes in life, they must feel the weight of it for them to grow up and receive the strength they need. For when you're not around, they can still carry their cross. Amen. For one's cross is to learn the weight of sacrifice, responsibility, and order. It is an enabling of the Son to start climbing up his God-ordained mountain. Everyone has a mountain to climb. Everyone. Father carries the fire to ignite the wood. You can only ignite the fire you carry. I want to say that again. You can only ignite with the fire you carry. So whatever my passion is, if that passion is not the things of the Lord and your passion is something else, you will ignite a fire within that is not the things of God. I must carry the fire in my belly of the things of the Spirit of God and the goodness of God. I must hold that, and no matter what, keep holding that. I can ignite something when the altar is built. Because God will provide something for himself and they can become the living sacrifice God has always intended for their life. And the confusion is sometimes when we allow the kids to have choice and the kids not to carry the cross and the father's carrying the cross up the hill and the kids saying, you know what, I'll carry the knife. And what we're doing, we're relieving something from them they're never designed to carry. There's three types of fire. There's a profane fire, there's one's own fire, and that was prophesied this morning, and there's God's fire. Profane fire. Remember the two sons? Remember the two sons? Of who was the priest again? Eli. No. 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 Moses' brother. Aaron's two sons. The two sons, Abihu and Ahab, I think his name was, Ahab. They were consecrated to the Lord. And they brought profane fire before God and God struck them dead. Profane fire is do what I think to offer up what I deem right in my own eyes and expect that it will be acceptable before God. That's what's profane. Well, I'll just give, it's all right, we'll just do this. That's all right, we'll just serve God this way. That's fine. It's profane. He wants total obedience. He doesn't want some of you. He wants all of you. He wants all of your heart, not some of your heart. Amen. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. And he's talking to the church. The book of Revelation is a message to every church. So if he's knocking on the door of your heart, that means where is he? He's outside. It's profane. God doesn't. God, we don't serve a God that second best, and He doesn't deserve second best. He deserves everything. Are you with me? One's own fire in Isaiah 55:10-11. It says they kindled their own fire and they kindled their own sparks. Independent from God, self-made, self-reliant, and self-aware, self-directed, walking in their own ways, and yet it's still a fire. It has the appearance of everything, but no power. Clouds without water. Everything is an appearance. Then there's God's fire, Daniel chapter 3. no matter what the devil does to me, no matter how bad he thinks he's got me bound up, no matter how bad the situation looks hopeless, God's fire will deliver me. God's fire will break up every bond, will break every shackle. The smell of smoke won't even be on my garments, and I'll walk out of there as a victor, not a victim. Hallelujah. Next one, son. For his cross is God's requirement for him, the son, to carry. So when the altar is built in order of God's intention, there is then something to offer with thanksgiving, and there is something to ignite. Hallelujah. There is something to ignite. When the son sees the father keep on walking, when there's no understanding in the reason why he's walking, he didn't know there was a ram coming. He didn't know. Isaac was confused. You've got the wood. You've got a knife. Where's the ram? So with his limited ability to walk by faith, he was walking by perception. And that's what happens, you see, when we allow our intellect to get involved with the process of God, it can bring confusion. And a place of immaturity. So a father says this, God will provide for himself. Even though he didn't know how to provide, Abraham didn't know, even though he didn't know how he was going to do it, he spoke by, one needs to hear the father constantly speaking by faith. By faith. God will provide. God will do it. My God's awesome. He's a good God. He'll work it all out together for the good. That's all right, son. All things will be well. Let's just keep walking. Just keep walking. Just get another foot in the front of there. And then we're going up a hill. There's resistance. In the midst of the son learning to carry his cross and climb his mountain, the father is in relationship with him. I cannot reiterate this enough. It doesn't matter the state my son is. Never, ever break relationship with your children. You must keep loving them and staying the same to them no matter what is happening. You stay there constant. Amen. He doesn't climb it alone. As the father speaks words of encouragement and faith, the father must point to the son. Abraham never pointed to reasoning. He never pointed him to reasoning. He never said, well, I don't know what God said. I really don't know. Maybe we've made a mistake. He never went to reasoning. He walked by faith. He walked by what God, he believed God in him and what God is able to do for him. Had he received Isaac from the dead? Had he already received Isaac from the dead? The Hebrews tells me he received him from the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he knew the power of God's resurrection. He knew the power. He had a testimony with God. And he kept a hold of the testimony of God. So even though he slayed him, even if he had to, he knew God had the ability to resurrect him. He was so confident in his God. Do we want to see that happen? Do we want to see our sons cut and die sometime? No. We want to rescue them. But there's certain things in their life, even our children's lives, certain things that has to die. There's certain things that has to die. And I cannot rescue them from that. When they perceive the lack of reason of, when they, the children, perceive the lack of reason or purpose for the journey, walking alongside them, speaking faith and hope, and them seeing you keep walking, and what is lacking, he will supply. They learn from you. They learn from you. They learn that your God supplies your needs. Came to a place where God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there in place. I've read all that, haven't I? No? There is a place where one arrives and one knows it's time to offer up. The Lord has everything and wants everything upon the altar. The son learned how to build an altar as he watched his father. Sons need to see how their fathers build their own altar at home. They need to see it. They just don't want to hear it on a Sunday morning. They don't want to just hear you sing a song Sunday morning. They need to see a steadiness in your walk every day of your life. They need to see a constant in you. They need to see that you are for God always and that you rely on the goodness of God to see you through everything. Amen. How it is built, this order, I've got read, God is also a God of order. Isaiah 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered. When your heart is turned towards him, he will order, or bring order into your life. He will bring order, he will cause you to step out where you didn't think you should. He will cause you to walk into things you shouldn't. He will cause you to stand when you think everything is against you. He will cause you to be what you think you couldn't be. He will cause you to keep walking. He will undergird you in everything. They're ordered by the Lord. And what? He delights in your ways. I want to hear that testimony in my day. God's delighted in my ways. Amen. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Father prepared to give over that which he loves and to him. Everything that is of me, everything that belongs to me, I must be able to put upon the altar. Everything that is of me and everything that belongs to me, I have to have the power to place it on the altar. He has to be my priority. He has to be my number one. Next one, son. Angel of the Lord called from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. In the midst of his test, in the midst of his trial, he still had enough about him to be able to hear the voice of God. That's one of the greatest lessons your children can learn. In the midst of your dilemma, in the midst of the pressure, in the midst of the turmoil of life, they still can see that you can hear from God. Genesis 14, 15, 16, and 17. You can read that for yourselves. I'm not reading it. Psalm 139, verse 4. You have hedged me about behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me. Your God has hedged your future. Your God has hedged your past. But the weight of his hand is in your now. I want to say that again. Your God has hedged your future. Your God has hedged your past. But the weight of his presence is in your now. His hand is heavy in your now. His hand is here to deliver you in your now. He doesn't wait for you to get to your future. He's already there. He's already orchestrating it. He's already working it out for you. He's already making the crooked path straight. He's already orchestrating everything in your future. He's already sealed your past. It's hedged. The devil's got no right to your past. The only one that can open the door to your past. But his hand is heavy in your now. He's an ever-present help in my time of need. He's in my now. He's a now God. He's a now moment God. Today is the day of the Lord. Amen. Don't get so lost in your future, you forget your present. And don't get so caught up with your kids prophesying future, you don't celebrate. Sons learn when they're prepared to give, you're prepared to give your all, that there's an increase of blessing. Hear me. He said in verse 4:16, I will bless you. I will multiply you. And that's when they know that you are walking with God. There's an increase of blessing and a hedging for all one has. A weight of his presence in my moment of need, that God is the source of it all. They see the hand of God in your life. They mightn't say it, but they will see it. They can't deny the power of God. Verse 20, in all your seed, all the nations of this shall be blessed because you obeyed my voice. I want to give you everything about the altar in just a couple of words. The altar is a place of worship and sacrifice. The ultimate expression of worship is obedience. Your song is not your worship. Your song is your expression of your worship. But worship is your actions. It is time for the fathers to demonstrate and invite their sons and daughters. Let's go for a walk. I remember I was 18, my 18th birthday. My dad grabbed a hold of me. My mum says, oh, your dad wants you to go with him. Dad says, let's go for a walk. takes me down the park. He says, well, now, son, you're 18. Do you want to smoke? I said, I don't smoke, Dad. He used to smoke like a chimney. I said, I don't want to smoke. But for him, that was a big thing. He was acknowledging me as a man. Even though it was probably the wrong way to do it. But it was his way of acknowledging me as a man. He didn't ask me for a drink because he never drank. No, he wasn't a Christian. But he didn't drink. But he was acknowledging me as a man. And he said these things to me. Things like, son, you're a man now. With that comes responsibility. I paid my rent since I was 15. But there's responsibilities. He says, you will meet a woman soon. He's prophesying. He didn't know he was prophesying. I was married at 20. You'll meet a woman soon. He said, you'll have to learn to provide. So I want to leave you with some gems. He says, this is the first thing he said to me. Never live for work. To live. Because I was caught up in work. I couldn't cram enough stuff into me. I just loved it. But it was becoming my life. And you could see that. Never live for work. Work to live. Stuck with me since I've been 18. Powerful principles. When you meet your wife, he never had to tell me this because he demonstrated this. Love her. He never had to say that to me, really, because he demonstrated love. When I looked at him, I saw how a man should love his wife. I said, I already know that. Show me. Oh. There is principles. There is attributes as a father that we have to our children. And the rescuer can't keep on rescuing. We must allow them to carry the weight of their cross. Amen. And I must be mums, dads. We must be there to keep on walking with them with a word of faith, with a word of encouragement, even when they don't know exactly what's happening in life. Amen. Your faith will give them direction. And let them see the altar of God in your life. Amen. I'm the froth and bubble. I'm tired of it. I want to see some authenticity in people's lives, that they're Christians day in, day out. We sang a song this morning, night and day, day and night. What's incense? My worship. One season or another season, a daytime where I can see, a nighttime where I need to be led. I will worship in every season I'm in. They need to see the clarity of God in my house. And I'm going to say this, they're never too old. They're never too old to learn it. Are you with me? Reason will never answer the lack. Reasoning will never answer the lack. They may perceive in their climb. Observing a father will walk that will walk with them and keep speaking faith and walking in their direction God intends, he will answer their questions. You are not there to their problem. You are the pointer to the right direction. And Abraham always pointed Isaac to God. Are you with me? Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's going to do some divine reversals. He's going to bring some reversals in some children's lives and they won't even know it. The word's going to hit them like a hammer. And there's going to be an awakening era. Hear me? there's going to be an awakening in their spirit, man. And all of a sudden, they're going to remember when. Amen. Their testimony will start to come forth. Glory to God. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. Everyone here that represents a family. God's asking, will you make sure your altar is built in your house? Husbands, will you make sure your children have an example to follow? That you will walk beside them. That you will walk beside them when they don't understand why they're even walking. And speak faith. Please, please, don't problems. The world's quick to tell them their problem. They need to hear a solution. The solution is Jesus. Hallelujah. Speak faith. God's for you. God's going to make room for you. God's going to provide. God will do it. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need a fresh touch this morning, if you need a fresh touch in your house, you lift up your hands before the Lord. You lift up your hands before your Lord. Say, God, this morning, I consecrate my house afresh. I consecrate my fresh. It's never too late. I consecrate my house afresh. I prophesy over my house. Yet for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Help me to be stable. Help me to teach them to build an altar. Help me to point them to Jesus in all their problems. Help me to live it out, Jesus. Help me to be an example of you in this earth. Hallelujah. Help that example in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For when there's a lack, the Lamb is there. Glory to God. God will make sure the Lamb is there, and the blood of the Lamb will cover everything that is there. Glory. Are you with me this morning? Father, we receive it by faith. We don't have to walk by, Father, by sight. We walk by faith. And Father, we're going to walk this mountain with them, that they will inherit everything you have for their lives. And we call them the sons of promise, Father, in Jesus' name. And we receive it for them in the mighty name of Jesus. If that's you, then shout to the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. I know. All starts in the house, guys. Doesn't start here. This is just a celebration of what's happening in your house. Don't blame church for your problems. I'm serious. Don't blame church for the problem. It's in your house. Where's my beautiful Macy? Hallelujah. My wife will be holding a baby in 2 weeks. But not taking any thunder or fire from Macy this morning. So she's precious. She's a good baby. She sleeps a lot and eats a lot.
She doesn't eat enough.
Therefore, she must be doing other things a lot. God bless her. I want to show people her. Just, can I? Hey, I've had three. Macy Williams. Isn't she gorgeous? Isn't she beautiful? Hey, look, look, how cute. And I'm being loud and she's still asleep. Hey, there must be a lot of peace in their house. She's a peaceful baby. Well, she's a peaceful baby. We're going to speak by faith. Macy Grace Williams. Macy Grace Williams. Eh? Congratulations, God. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have a good week, successful week. Please, you don't have to wait until next week to start an altar. Start today. Amen. God bless you.